Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. It's Tuesday. Welcome to the show. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to reach us. Wendy, you just said something very kind about our friend Steve Bertrand, and I want to get to that because it doesn't happen often.
I did say it off the air.
Don't do it right away. I want to savor the idea.
Sometime between now and noon, some kind words from Wendy to Steve. And we tease him a lot because we got him on the spot. Welcome back. Anyway, I had such a magical moment on my way in today that I needed to share it with you. And
wow.
I know it's one that you'll perceive as being mean-spirited, but it's not. It's just fun.
All right, some prank happened.
As I'm entering the building, I noted pet expert Steve Dale is making his way into the building just ahead of me. And it wasn't my goal to mess with noted pet expert Steve Dale, but the opportunity was there, so why wouldn't I?
Did you kick his back leg so then as he walks forward, he kicks his own leg and trips himself?
Hadn't thought about it at the time, but I will file that away for next time.
That was big at junior high.
I remember. A woman gets in the revolving door, and Steve waits his turn. And then Steve gets in the revolving door, and I get in right behind him, but he doesn't know I'm behind him. So Steve is pushing with all his might. You know how a revolving door works is you push it, and then miraculously you're at the end, and you get to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if the guy behind you decides to pull on it instead of push on it, you get trapped inside the revolving door, which is what I did to noted pet expert Steve Dale. And the beauty of this was he was really frustrated for about a second or two, and then he just kind of gave in to the fact that he was going to spend his day in the middle of a revolving door. He just gave up. He stopped pushing. He didn't look around. He just stood there. And when I finally did let him out 25 minutes later, he said, "That was so weird." And I go, "Well, yeah, it was weird. But the weirder part is you did nothing to make anything happen. You just gave into it." He goes, "I didn't know what to do."
Well, good for him, because if it was me, I'd be banging and pushing and kicking.
But wouldn't you look behind, like he didn't look behind him to see if a doof like me was stopping the door from moving forward. He just went, "Well, I guess my day's going to be spent in here now." Like he didn't even try.
I have an app that tells me when you're around. Because I don't like your pranks, quite honestly. So there's an app that gives like a glowy screen
it tells
as to
you where I'm located.
Yep. So if something goes wrong,
yeah,
and that app is blinking, I know it's you.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, of course
that's
not.
Safe for
but
fear.
Yes, I would look around to go, what is somebody's purse caught in it? What's happening?
If you've been in a revolving door even once in your life, you know the principle is I start here. I spend 2 seconds or 3 seconds in kind of a no man's land of just glass, and then I'm able to leave. He just totally, a second in, he just went, "This is not my day. I'm gonna spend hours in here."
So he panicked for a second,
not
and
even
then
panicked, just like kept pushing. He pushed once or twice, and then just gave up.
Just threw his arms up.
Yeah,
and
it's not gonna happen.
Steve Dale.
It was good. You enjoy your situation no matter where you are.
Right. I'm shocked he didn't pull out a book or a magazine and just sit down and
read. Snake.
Some animal.
A skink.
But
that's what
really,
he is.
The thing to do is look behind you to see or around to go, well, something must be jamming up the system because this just normally works so easily. He gave up.
I really have a difficult time with revolving doors. I really do.
They've become a lot heavier.
But
I don't know
I just,
what's going on, but there's a couple by the train station that I see people get in, and they just it takes all their might just to get it around that half circle.
I just can't get in it properly. Like, I always do a stutter step. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who has difficulty with the moving sidewalks getting off a ride at Disney, too.
Yeah.
I get disoriented.
But now, in those cases, the sidewalk and the ride are timed to be at the exact same pace.
So my feet in the door are at different paces. And think about it. There's just a very small area where people are entering and exiting.
True.
So sometimes if someone comes out and doesn't move away right away.
You have a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gives me a lot of anxiety every morning. It really does. And now if I was Steve Dale and trapped in there.
Yeah. It was a sight to behold. And then as he was leaving, because he did a segment on Steve's show, he came to our office and he said, "Is there a safer route for me to take to get out of the building? Because I don't trust the revolving doors."
Well, he did realize it was you, right?
He only realized it was me because once I gave in to the fact that I've done what I came to do, we both got out at the same time. And he looked back and he was going to tell me the story, but I was the one causing the story. "Oh, the weirdest thing just happened. I was trapped in the revolving..." No, you weren't trapped. I did that to you.
You can download the Bill Left prank app. Just go to Google Play.
I'm bringing back the Jerky Boys, Wendy. I'm bringing them back.
What it would do, Wendy, is it would measure your adrenaline. Every time your adrenaline peaked, it would say, think of Bill.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Because, you know, every time you're like, oh, yeah, it's Bill.
It's safe.
Only Bill.
Everything's okay. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. And then Wendy's sharing some kind words for our friend Steve Bertrand. Ooh. How about that? That's coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, so just prior to the show, you and I were doing what we normally do, which is put up curtains here in the studio to make it look a little more homey. And you said something very nice about Steve Bertrand.
Steve, here it is. And you set it up way too big. It would have been nice just to say it.
No.
But I can't stop thinking about something you said off the air with us yesterday and then on the air while on the John Williams show.
Steve does that a lot. He'll practice things with us off air.
Right.
And if we react positively, he says them on air with John.
Off Broadway, Broadway, off Broadway.
Right. Same thing.
So the whole Colin Kaepernick thing that started out, I didn't realize that he started in a seated position and then thought that kind of maybe looked a little disrespectful, so then dropped to a knee. And Steve, you said with us and with John Williams that the taking a knee is not showing disrespect. It is almost a way of genuflecting or you're a solemn thought you have. I mean, turning your back on the flag, that would be disrespect.
Right. Well, I mean, the way I was just tried to put it was it's differentiating yourself from what everyone else is doing, but not necessarily doing it in a disrespectful way.
Exactly.
Don't you think now, though, teams are trying to figure out what's the best way to get their point across without offending other people? Don't you think? I mean, we saw that to some extent with Monday Night Football last night with the Cowboys. I guess what teams are trying to do is play both sides of the fence a little bit, not 100%, because they're still saying we don't believe in what the president is saying. Although, I told you this, Wendy, right before the show, the president got an ally that I did not expect over the weekend. Somebody has come out on his side to some extent, and that's Joe Maddon, the manager of the Cubs.
Oh, I saw that.
You saw this quote?
Yeah.
This happened Saturday, so a lot more happened since Saturday, most notably Sunday. But Saturday, when this was really reaching a boiling point, this is what Joe Maddon said. He was in Milwaukee as the Cubs were playing the Brewers. Maddon said, "It's dangerous when folks in our country stop respecting the White House and the seat of the president. It's not a good situation." Now, to some extent, I agree with that. You certainly want people...
If it was anybody else.
No, even though it's Donald Trump, this is a phrase that I'm not inventing. A lot of people have said this, especially lately, that they respect the office of the presidency even if they don't respect who the president is.
And we should.
And we should. I mean, the way that this is all set up is for that particular person, whoever the president is, to hold a very, very important place, not just in the country, but globally. And you almost I don't know how you can't respect that. I mean, that's the way it's set up.
The level of criticism is greater under the Trump year, 250 days so far, than ever before.
By far.
But and it's not altogether unjustified because his behavior is unprecedented, too.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is sort of hyped up and elevated. But there is a risk of more and more freedom to say worse and worse things about each other, whether it's him about us or us about him.
Or him about world leaders or world leaders about him.
Whatever, that there is this sliding and it will be hard to go back or we'll never go back to where we were. We might become more respectful than we are today, but I don't know if we'll return to the respect we had.
Steve, I've been thinking about that since Trump took over in January. I've been thinking, is this the way it will always be now? That whenever the president says or does anything, half of the country or nearly half of the country will criticize him and berate him, and the other half of the country will support him. I don't know.
I mean, look, I'm sure there's some Barack Obama fans listening right now who said it's been that way for 8 years, too. You know, you got a guy running for Senate today in Alabama, leading in the polls, who still won't say that the previous president was a United States citizen.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So, you know, I think President Trump accelerated it, but we've been rolling down this hill for a few years.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Wendy. That's very nice of you.
Well, I can't stop thinking about it, and I can't stop thinking about Alejandro Villanueva.
Well, he wants to take back there.
Well, he does. He's feeling guilty for actually doing it. He's a former Army Ranger. He was the only Pittsburgh Steeler seen standing during the national anthem, and he told reporters at first he wasn't saying anything, and now his quote was, he unintentionally threw his teammates under the bus. I had read that they had all agreed that they were going to stay in the locker room because they couldn't decide if some were going to take a knee and some were not going to. So they just said, we're just going to stay in the locker room, again, as Steve Bertrand pointed out, to stay out of the limelight and just stay away from the whole situation. And he couldn't help himself.
Well, but also he was tweeting yesterday, I think it was him or other teammates, that there were other players with him that tried to get to the tunnel with him. And they were blocked by the Bears flag or, you know, some people going down the tunnel.
Yeah.
So even though he was there, it was always the plan that there would be others with him. And he happened to get there ahead of the roadblock, and it didn't. And then the anthem started, and then those players, rather than continue down the tunnel to the entrance, just stopped where they were.
So
it was always going to be more than just him.
Help me with this, because I saw almost none of the Bears game. I didn't see the beginning when they played the national anthem and the Steelers remained in their locker room. So then when the anthem is done and the Steelers do finally come out on the field, they then get booed by some of the fans.
They were booed even beforehand, weren't they? That's what I heard.
Well, they would have been booed on any Sunday, right? First of all.
Even Steelers fans, though, I heard were booing them for not coming
out. When the opposing team comes onto the field,
you get some negative response from the crowd. But in this particular instance, they were being booed not because they were an opposing team, but because they weren't on the field making some sort of a stand, even though they were making a stand by not being on the field. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
They were avoiding it all by staying off. According to Mike Tomlin, he said, look, I wanted to protect my players who did want to protest, and I wanted to protect my players who didn't want to protest.
All right, so the crowd as a whole was booing the fact that they were ignoring the controversy, right? Is that what they were being booed
by? Well, that they didn't come out.
They didn't know what was going on at the time, right. You know? I mean, we didn't know until Tomlin spoke.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, upset that Villanueva decided
that
to
he
do
was
it.
Out there.
But his teammates, too, kind of, they were quotes from him. I was looking at this last night all over the place that they were saying, you know, he's a great guy. That's his decision, whatever. He's just, he is who he is.
He said there have been players on opposing teams who took a knee during the anthem and then went up to him and thanked him for his service.
Interesting.
You can do both.
You can do both. That's what we're losing.
You can do both.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Yep. Steve Bertrand is God.
Yes.
Oh, stop it.
All right. We'll take a quick break.
And then I can be mean to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we come back, sure, of course.
I feel like I'm stuck in a revolving door. This is something weird.
All right, stick around. There's a lot more coming your way next. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I had a question to you off the air, and I don't know if we 100% answered it. But I know people were still taking a knee prior to Donald Trump's SOB comments, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a lot, was it?
Nowhere near as much, no. No, they were few and far between prior, but it escalated like crazy once Trump made his comments, yeah.
All right, well, Nancy wanted to comment on this. Nancy, how are you doing? Thanks for holding on through the news.
Oh, no problem. I am wondering, number one, why the expensive or well-paid football players need to express their political views when patrons have paid a great deal of money to come and enjoy the game. I think that if people say that sports players are heroes, why don't kids look to their teachers or to world leaders or something? Why do we have to focus on these football players? I don't understand. I just don't understand why they take the time to express themselves.
I feel that they have a right to express themselves like anyone else, but Nancy, the way you put it makes me think a little more, because if I'm paying $300 to go to the game, I don't really want controversy. I want to go escape from the controversy.
Well, they don't look at them. I mean, they're kneeling for 90 seconds. You know, I mean, it's not like it's going to ruin your day.
Yeah, but here's
but
the...
But it has.
Another thing, you know, Von Miller from the Broncos has lost an endorsement contract, apparently. for a car dealership chain in Denver. So these guys are...
They're taking a risk for doing
it. They are.
Absolutely.
They're putting something up when they do this.
You know what? I don't buy that. 90 seconds, you said it doesn't ruin your life. Look at the discussion that it has prompted. It has sidelined everybody. People forget about the event because of the boneheads that have to kneel.
What if they were kneeling to draw attention to the hurricane victims?
You know what? I would have to think about that, to be honest with you, because if you're going to catch me on this premise, I guess I would say I'd have to disagree with that, although I probably wouldn't.
But in some ways, Nancy,
this thing. It's the message that people
it is.
These issues as important to them as anything else. I mean, if you're Colin Kaepernick and you're trying to, you know, put a spotlight on an issue that is that important, I know you could spend all day trying to figure out the pecking order of which causes are more or less important, but to these people,
yeah,
to the players, this is extremely important.
Then they should demonstrate on their own time in their own arena, not where people have paid a lot.
This is their own arena.
It is their own arena.
All right. You know what I mean.
But no one's going to notice. This is a way to shine a light on racial injustice for them.
Exactly. You know what? They have chosen that because it is a popular time to speak out so that everybody notices you. What? Isn't there a better way to be noticed?
Not really. There really isn't.
They know that the world is watching. They're on, you know, they're on network television playing their football game. The world is watching them. This is, I can't think of a better way to get their message out.
Okay, but what they're doing is they're parlaying their celebrity.
Yeah.
That people have paid a lot of money to come and see,
right,
to get their message across. There has to be another way for them to get, I don't think that they should be using this forum to make their statements. I just don't.
All right.
All right. Well, that's your opinion, and we totally
100% believe in your right to express it.
Exactly.
Right? That's what this is. Yeah. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you,
appreciate
Nancy.
It.
Kathy has a comment as well. Let's talk to Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi there. When I first heard or saw this and people doing something while the national anthem or with the pledge for whatever, the Pledge of Allegiance, and I thought that was wrong, except now I think about it. What does the national anthem, Pledge of Allegiance, and the flag all mean? Liberty and justice for all, and this is all, we're one country. So actually, I think if anything, this is appropriate. If you're going to put your hand over your heart and say to the flag, or you have national anthem, this is what these are all about. So you don't get to say freedom for everyone and yet put your hand over your heart and then turn around and say, these are people who feel that there isn't freedom and justice for all. Things are not the same. So actually, I think it's appropriate. It's actually true. If you're going to talk about it, then do it. There are people who we all know we do have bigots.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, thank you.
Well said, Kathy.
Thanks a lot, okay. Kathy. I was thinking about the irony of some NFL team names and what went on Sunday. Like the Patriots, for instance, is a perfect example. The Patriots that came over from England to the United States because they wanted some sort of freedom. So it makes sense that a team called the Patriots would be standing up for the rights. Or the Eagles. The eagle is the symbol of America. So they were standing up for America's rights. So there's just some very ironic, not so much the Buccaneers. I mean, there's some teams that
don't
fit
in.
Or the Redskins. There's some teams that don't fit that mold. But, yeah, it was a strange coincidence, I guess.
I'm telling you, I am hooked on Ken Burns' documentary of the Vietnam War. I have been binge watching it. I think I'm on...
Don't say how it ends. I'm taping it, and I don't know how it ends.
I think I'm on episode 5, and there are plenty more, and you can go to pbs.org and watch it and support your local PBS station. But I'm telling you, all this stuff going on, I was 4 years old. I didn't really get what was happening. And after watching what's going on with government kind of maybe covering up some things, and these soldiers, I was looking at my son Michael, who's 18 years old, and I'm thinking, this is like him going away to war, and I want to start protesting. They show all the protesters, and it's like all of a sudden, we didn't protest for a while. It's coming back, and it should come back. This is our country, and we have a right to stick up for it.
Sure.
So I'm going to start protesting. Right. I don't know about what yet.
Starting today?
No, probably
tomorrow,
next week.
Next week you'll start
protesting. I'm going to start fresh on a Monday.
That's the best way to do it. All right, we'll take a quick break. Ashley Escada joins us from CNET. We'll find out what's going on in the tech world in just a little bit. It's Bill Effen. It's Wendy Snyder, who's protesting next week. Not sure what
yet. Not sure what, but I'm going to find a cause.
Starting next week.
We've got to bring it back.
All right. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday. You know that. We do that around here. And senior editor for CNET, Ashley Escada, on the line with us. Ashley, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am hesitant to download the new iOS, I think it's 11, for the iPhone. A friend of mine on Facebook, who is not a mom or a grandmother, so he kind of knows the tech world, he downloaded the latest version of it, and he claims that his phone locked up and he can't get it to turn on, and there's no way to go back to the old operating system, is there?
Oh, no. Yeah, there it's. You can take it. I think you can take it to an Apple store and have them work on it. So that's probably what he's going to have to do if it won't turn back on. But
Is it smart to wait a couple days to make sure bugs are fixed?
I tend to tell people if you are not desperate to be that early adopter, if you're not that person anyway, it's totally fine if you just wait for usually there's a bug fix patch that comes pretty swiftly after you see any major software update from any company. So I would say if you're not sure, it's totally okay to wait for a little bug fix patch.
All right, I'm waiting.
Yeah, wait a little while. Be patient.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Some major fallout, Ashley, from the Equifax breach of a few weeks ago. Go ahead. This is news that we kind of expected, I guess.
Man, yeah. Equifax is they're really... They've got a long road ahead of them.
Yeah.
Their CEO stepped down effective immediately this morning. So Richard Smith said, I just feel like this is in the best interest of the company and new leadership should move the company forward at this point. And I am out. So he has stepped down and that makes three executives. That's the CEO. And then I believe their chief, they've had their chief information officer and their chief security officer also leave the company, which also to be expected after such a massive breach. They just keep kind of tripping up about this. So it's not just the breach. I mean, companies go through hacks and they come out the other side. Look at Target.
Mm-hmm.
But on that same note, they are not even handling the aftermath of the breach very well. So they waited a month to alert consumers from the time they found out, which obviously consumers don't like that when it has to do with their credit information and their social security numbers. And then also their Equifax Twitter account was tweeting a website that wasn't the official website for information. It was a spoofed website. It really has been sort of a comedy of errors over there a little bit.
And Ashley, remind me, didn't they want to charge people to freeze their account, even though it wasn't the people's fault, it was the company's fault, Equifax? Wasn't there a certain
$10?
It was $10 to freeze the account. So
they waived it, but the other companies did not.
I think in certain states, I know in California, it's $10 per credit union. So mm-hmm. all three of them charge $10 each. And I think there are some members of Congress arguing that it should be free for everybody. And I mean, I kind of agree. I think if there's a breach like this, it makes total sense to be able. But on top of that, like the even crazier thing is if they said, oh, if you freeze your credit, you can unfreeze it by filling out this form, which hilariously was all the information that was leaked in the hack. So.
Ashley, if you're the president, though, if you're the CEO of Equifax and you've just come off of this and you're interviewing for a job, do you even put that on your resume? I might want to leave that off my resume.
Maybe you just skip it. Maybe say that you were a stay-at-home dad.
Right.
Taking care of the family, trying to get back into business.
It kills me that like you can't buy anything, whether it be a house, a car, or a refrigerator, without a good credit rating. And then all your information goes to these reporting agents. I know, and it's just, it's so not cool. Speaking
I
of
think
a,
it's definitely a sign of this sort of these companies, especially these three major companies, have sort of rested on their laurels for a little bit too long. And I think what happens is, you know, at some point these breaches will happen, and they just have to be prepared. And Equifax absolutely was not prepared.
All right. Joe Biden is starting a podcast.
Joe Biden is?
This is kind of exciting.
Yeah, former Vice President Joe Biden is launching a project called Biden's Briefing, and it's a podcast that he's going to run every weekday. He picks out articles that he says in this statement. He says, it's a range of thoughts and opinions, some of which I agree with and some of which I don't, but all of which I think are important to spend some time thinking about. So he's going to choose the topics, and then this is sort of an interesting format. They're going to have, Joe Biden will introduce the stories and offer some thoughts about the pieces, and then he's going to have voice actors read out the story.
Wow.
So, and they have a partnership with publishers like Bloomberg and BuzzFeed, MSNBC, Politico, Slate, Vice, like a whole bunch of publishers. And the neat thing that I like about it is it won't just be available as a traditional podcast on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, like all these podcast services. You'll also be able to get it through Amazon's Alexa and Google Assistant. So you'd be able to say, like, you know, you use your trigger word. I don't want anybody listening with it on speaker. I hate to trigger their Alexa.
Right.
But you say, like, hey, launch Biden's Briefing, or what's Biden's Briefing? And then it would just be that podcast, which is really neat. And it's every day, so I'm imagining it's pretty short. I think this is really cool. Like, I like that he's doing this. And Joe Biden, I mean, we all love how candid he can be. So it seems like it could be a really great way for him to sort of get his thoughts out there in a really casual, kind of friendly way.
And maybe start campaigning for running for president next time.
Maybe.
Maybe. Who knows?
How will this be different from Live with Carson Daly?
I mean, I'd love a TRL element. If he could also count down the top 10 music videos of the day, I would be in.
That's a good show.
All right, and tell us about this giant unicorn statue, because this seems so goofy.
So I love Japan, and they always live in the future, you guys. It's always in the future.
It's like Blade Runner.
And, they just unveiled this. So one of the things that Japan has that we do not, that I feel we should definitely incorporate into our society, is giant robots that guard, quote-unquote guard, locations or cities. So this new massive unicorn Gundam statue was unveiled at it guards a shopping mall in Tokyo, and it's almost 65 feet tall. It's huge. So they don't mess around with their Gundams in Japan, guys.
Wow, that sounds. And what does it do other than just guard the shops?
It's a unicorn. Yeah? It gives you hope.
It's good news. Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, so it is part of a they have a light show, and then it moves along to the series. It's sort of a series. Gundam is a franchise in Japan. So yeah. All these large robots and everything. So there's it moves, and there's a theme song that plays, and there's a light show, and it's sort of a little feature that's happening there. But it's, you know, it's sort of also kind of guarding the mall, you know. Unfortunately, it's not equipped with any actual weapons.
Oh, all right.
I mean, would be much more exciting, but also dangerous.
All right, and real quickly, you had sent some ideas. Ashley Esqueda on the line with us, senior editor for CNET. You can find her at CNET.com. Alphabet Internet Balloons Could Talk to Your Phone in 2019. There's the headline. What the heck is an Alphabet Internet Balloon?
So I love this. Google's parent company Alphabet has a project called Project Loon. And what that consists of, it used to be this crazy, they call it a moonshot project, where it's just a wild idea. And now it looks like it might actually become reality. They are sort of, they look like weather balloons. And they are cell towers that are balloons instead of towers, so cellular balloons.
So you're going to get better connections.
Especially in more remote or rural areas. And so the idea originally was we want to make these balloons for people who are suffering after, for example, Puerto Rico. This would be a great example. the idea would be to bring in these balloons and give people connectivity if the infrastructure has been destroyed in a natural disaster. And so now they've expanded that out, and they said, well, not only can we do that in the event of a disaster, an emergency, we can also use it for just remote areas. So they used these loon balloons, 20 to 30 of them.
Are there 99 loon balloons?
Thank you, Nana.
You're welcome.
That I'm ready for that single. That can be on Biden's briefing. That can be the number one.
Yeah.
In the Peru, so they did a test in Peru. They did 20 to 30 loon balloons, and they covered an area the size of Switzerland. And they were able to improve internet access during flooding in Peru, which is really cool. Like, it's a really neat sort of little side project that's kind of grown into its own thing now. And so Google's saying, well, we think we can actually make this happen. And so you may, in the future, by 2019, you may actually be connecting to a loon balloon for your internet when you're out and about in remote areas.
That's a great idea. And really mentioning Puerto Rico right now, you know, Donald Trump has tweeted that relief is on the way. And this way they'd be able to look at their phones and see the message that help is on the way.
Exactly. And also helping all of the different infrastructure, you know, police and fire and coordinate with each other, especially after across large swaths of land where it's really hard to do that in the event of something like what's happening in Puerto Rico. So this is it's a really interesting idea, and I'm really excited to see that there are, you know, divisions of companies like Google and Facebook working on things like this to help people in the event of an emergency.
It's awesome. A great idea, Ashley, until that Gundam robot decides to eat all the balloons, destroy the balloons. Then it starts getting
crazy. Gundam style.
Gundam style.
Right. Well, let's just make sure that it's not fueled by balloons.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. You too.
It's Ashley Escada, the senior editor for CNET. Visit the website CNET.com
for
all your tech needs. You're welcome. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Tony Fulmer is here. One of our most popular guests, Tony.
Well, thank you.
Both internally and externally. Everybody loves Tony Fulmer. He's the chief horticultural officer at Shelley Nursery, and he's just been disappointed by something Wendy shared with him.
First of all, hi, Tony.
Hello. How are you?
Wendy let you down, didn't she?
I always let him down.
But at least she prefaced it. She admitted that she had done something horticulturally naughty.
Yes.
Yes. I like that.
A phrase you rarely hear out loud.
I want to get a bumper sticker that says horticulturally.
Horticulturally naughty.
I love
that. They sell those at the nursery.
All right. Around this time last year, I had a giant ash tree cut down in the backyard because it had the emerald.
Ash borer.
Yes.
And
it was very expensive to get that tree cut down. Mm-hmm. And in its place, I planted a lovely fringe tree, which.
You can grow fringe toast.
Why don't the two of you go out to lunch and leave me alone?
All right.
It's a beautiful tree. I got it last, maybe it was two falls ago.
Okay.
Because, I got it last fall. I planted it, and it's hard picking out a tree when it's at the end of the season because you just go by the shape. You can't really see the foliage because it was almost off.
Okay.
So they planted it, went through winter. It came these beautiful white fringes. There were fronds. They were coming off. They're scented beautifully.
Is it a male or a female?
I don't know.
Plants can be male or female?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it's a male, quite honestly, because I was reading on the internet. Explain the difference.
It's a little bit
first
hard
you
to
lift
to look
up its
by,
tail.
By looking at the white flowers, but if you have little, if it's old enough now, if you haven't had little black berries, then you probably have a male.
I don't think I saw berries.
No?
Okay.
All right.
So
female plant.
It was beautiful. It's a slow growing tree. It's supposed to grow up to 15 feet and it's under telephone wires. So that was a
should
suggested
be perfect.
Good
tree.
Choice. Thank you.
Good choice.
And it's not that big yet and it's a slow grower, but it's beautiful. But I have
was
not.
Was beautiful.
Yeah. I haven't really watered it at all summer. Because we had some torrential rains and.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of my colleagues says when people say, well, but it rained a lot in the spring. Well, do you need a drink of water every day? And I'm not saying the plants need to be watered every day, but this is really timely because I don't think there's anything that we could talk about that could be more life-saving and money-saving for people than to get out and water right now.
Is it too late? Have I killed it?
It's always hard to say if it's too late, but it's never bad to get out there and try. If the plant is still just starting to fall color.
Yes, it turned yellow.
Okay, completely yellow already?
No, it's okay. It's getting yellow.
I would say probably not too late, and even if it is, it's better to take the, you know, I mean, what have you got to lose by going out?
A tree?
Yeah. If it's been in for a couple of years, I'd be more concerned if you had just put it in the spring. And so
no, it already made it through one winter
exactly.
For sure.
So that helps. It has a deeper root system. But I would definitely say go out and make sure that you're watering really, really, really deeply. And especially things, if you have to prioritize it, you should be prioritizing and watering things that have just been put in this year. So whether it's perennials or whether it is new sod, but trees and shrubs in particular, you really need to get after them and really deep water them.
Wait till he hears this one.
Uh-oh.
I bought a couple lavenders in pots and forgot to plant them and forgot to water them. Is that a done deal? Uh-oh. Am I done?
Well, Wendy, how do they look?
Dead.
Oh.
I think you just answered your own question. I don't mean to be
They're
flip,
perennials.
But I think you just...
Tony,
they
I hope you're
back?
Never stuck in a desert and only Wendy has a lemonade stand because she will not give you any lemonade.
I have been a bad horticulturist this year.
Naughty horticulturist. Naughty horticulturist. So I think that's something that people really need to get out and they need to assess. And, of course, it's been made much worse by this last week of record-breaking heat.
Oh.
Things are just drying and the lawn is starting to get potato chip crispy. And you have to be really careful about that because people see the lawn going dormant and they think, okay, great, it's going to be fine. There is a rule that once it goes dormant, it needs at least 1/2 inch of moisture per month for the crown of that plant to stay alive. And that won't even turn it green. That will just keep it alive and basically keep it going until we have rain so that it can come out of dormancy. So we need to be really careful about this. We need to be out watering deeply, and we need to be mulching.
Love deeply and water deeply.
Sure. Yeah.
The words of Tony Fulmer.
That's so true.
I put them in your mouth.
At least you look contrite. Briefly.
All right. Patricia has a question for Tony Fulmer. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hi.
Hi.
This is the first year I've planted any perennials.
Okay.
I always plant annuals, and it's a no-brainer. When they die, you pull them up. Okay?
Right, right.
So I did an area on dirt tree, and I put some hostas, some coral bells, and some kind of grasses.
Okay.
When do I just let them die and stay there? Do I cut them, or what do I do with them now?
Well, you actually have choices there. So the thing to do is you can assess the look. The first thing is of what you mentioned is, generally speaking, the ornamental grasses, most of them have ornamental effect over the winter. So if you think that those wheat-colored stems are going to look pretty over the winter, leave them up, and then you can cut them back next March. The coral bells are really kind of semi-evergreen, so you don't do any cutting back on those. The hostas, you can let them fall color, and then you would cut them back to the ground in the next few weeks.
Before? You cut hostas back before the snow comes? I just kind of leave them.
Mm.
God,
Tony.
I am horticulturally naughty, Patricia.
Boy, in all respects. So
I watered every day. I'm still watering.
Well, and that's because you have things that are new and they don't have a deep root system. So, I don't think you necessarily, if they went
I'm talking about my annuals.
Oh,
I've got them. They're drying up.
So whatever you do, don't cut the coral bells back at all. Wait and see what happens with them next spring.
Oh,
you'll probably just pick some dead leaves off of that, and otherwise it'll look fine. The grass you could either cut back or you can leave that up for the winter. The hostas do not look great over the winter. I'm sorry, that's a plant that doesn't have winter interest.
Yeah.
So anytime in October, once they start yellowing, you can cut those back and leave maybe the stems maybe 1/2 or 3/4 inch tall.
Now, just one other item I have is hydrangeas.
Yes.
And I never do, and this year I snapped off all the dead branches in the spring, and I almost got no flowers. So what do I do for them to make sure I get the flowers next year?
Leave them alone. That's what Tony told me, and it worked.
Do you know what kind of hydrangea it is?
I think they're endless summer.
Okay, well, endless summer is a little bit, sometimes it blooms and sometimes it doesn't, so don't beat yourself up too much about that. Did you have any flowers at all?
Yes,
Okay, so if you want, you can leave those up over the winter, and then next spring, you can go ahead and do your pruning and see what's like a little bit like a rose bush, see what's alive and what's dead, but do not do any pruning on that this fall. Just leave that alone over the winter.
Oh, I'm so glad I called you.
All right.
Thanks, Patricia. Good luck. We have to take a break, and then we have more questions.
More with Tony Fomer. He'll give you his NFL picks for Sunday. That's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Real quickly, before we get back to the questions and Tony Fomer, Kevin Richter, our producer, has one more day with us. He is moving on to bigger and lesser things as he leaves us. And he just said in my headphones right now, do you get the song that I'm playing? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, 1979, is that the last time I watered? What is it? Smashing Pumpkins.
Right.
Very cerebral.
Yep. Very cerebral, Kevin.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Tony Fomer is here. And we were talking about perennials. Let's do a Mary has a question. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi, Bill and Wendy.
Hi. I
love listening to you.
Thank you.
My question is about daylilies.
Okay.
My husband, for some reason, ran over all of them with a lawnmower, cutting them down to the ground. He did this about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that they would, you know, regenerate.
Wait, he did this intentionally?
Yes.
This wasn't an off-road accident. No. Okay.
We had a misunderstanding in communication. I thought he was going to cut the irises down.
You know what? It's fine. It's really fine. It's not a problem. As a matter of fact, after my daylilies finish blooming and they start yellowing and turning brown and looking not great, I go through and cut them back to about 6 to 8 inches. And I did that about a month ago and started watering heavily, and they're all coming back. So not to worry. That's not a problem.
Okay.
They'll be fine.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And you say water heavily. Someone has texted. What does that mean exactly?
At the very least, if you're hand watering, what that means to me is I would water until water starts puddling on the surface. Then I would go and water something else and watch how long that takes to soak in. And if it takes... if it soaks in less than a second or so, I would go back and water one more time. I would want the water puddling on the surface for just a little tiny bit.
All right. So water till it puddles a little bit, mm-hmm. and then you know it's fully saturated.
Yes.
All right. A question from Steve right now. Steve, Tony Fulmer's here from the Chalet Nursery.
Hi. First, I want to say the Chalet is an awesome store. I love going there.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
My question is, regarding my shag bark hickory.
Okay.
I planted it a couple of years ago at 24 inches. It grew an inch the first year, an inch the second year. Now this year it's grown about 2 inches. Is this going to be an ongoing thing, or is this thing going to at some point spurt and, you know, start getting some real height to it?
It should have started spurting some time ago. So this was like a 24-inch seedling when you put it in the ground?
Yes.
Okay. Is this out in an open lawn area, or is there any kind of restriction to the root system?
No. It's I put it towards the back of my yard. My yard gently slopes towards a golf course, so okay. I figured the water would kind of run towards it. So.
And you don't put any, you don't ring it with anything like annuals or perennials or anything. It's just there with an open mulched circle around the base of it.
Yes, and it's got the open mulch. I do have a cage around it just
for protection.
I planted one. I had one a few years ago, and I think a squirrel ate it or a rabbit ate it, so I put a cage around it. So
okay, so you're saying this is year three. It should certainly kick in by next year, but you're saying you do have it mulched, and you're giving it supplemental water?
Yes, I've been watering. I water it twice a week.
Okay, and how did that soil seem when you dug that hole? Did you dig a fairly big hole for it, wide hole?
I dug one about twice the size of the pot, and it's black soil down there, okay. So it's not clay or anything.
You would expect that by next spring, you would expect that to, in fact, I would have expected this to kick in and made more appreciable growth, an inch, and then another 2 inches over that course of time. Something's going on with the root system. That plant isn't happy.
It's still growing, though. Maybe it's just late to hit puberty like Bill was.
It's coming, Wendy.
So good luck next spring. You should see a big difference by next spring.
Well, thank you very much. And one other question, the Bears or Packers?
Bears or Packers, Tony?
Packers.
Packers. What?
Yep. No, he knows what he's talking about.
Good job, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And real quickly before we let you go, Gene has another tree question. Gene, your tree du jour?
Hi. So, yeah, I have a city maple tree, and it's got that lovely tar fungus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's not going to affect the tree. I'm just wondering if I could use the leaves as mulch in my vegetable garden at the end of the season.
What is tar fungus, by the way, or whatever?
Norway maples at this time of year, especially if we had a wet spring, have big black lesions on the leaves. And it looks like someone has taken a paintbrush and put tar on them. And it's called tar spot. And so that would really not be an issue. You could go ahead and you could shred those and use those in your compost pile or use those for mulch. That's a non-issue. That would be fine.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Look at that. Another satisfied customer.
You do. You absolutely do. If people want to know more about anything we just discussed, is there a way to do that?
Sure. They can either contact me through email or they can just I'll just give them the phone number.
Okay.
Chalet phone number is 847-256-0561, and my extension is 220. So if I'm not there, you can leave a voicemail and I will get back to you.
Very nice.
And it's chaletnursery.com, 3132 Lake Avenue
in Wilmette.
Perfect. Right across from the Panda Express. Make a day of it.
Why does that make you so happy all the time?
Because every time I'm in Panda Express, I look across the street and I go, I want to go say hi to Tony, but I'd be bothering him. And I don't want to bother him.
You'd never be a
bother. No, I don't want to bother you.
You'd never be a bother.
Careful what you say.
I'm in every day now.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
My pleasure as always.
A quick break, some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's the effects of chocolate, Bill. You got to turn your button on.
That's what chocolate does to me, Wendy.
I should put a piece of chocolate on the on button, and when you go to reach for it, you'll turn your button.
Boy, would that work. That would work perfectly. Like a B.F. Skinner experiment.
Pavlov's Bill.
all right, so earlier we had Ashley Escathe on. She's with CNET, and both Kevin and I, I wanted to talk about this with her, but we didn't have time, and then in my head I'm like, well, we'll just get to it next week, but Kevin's not going to be here next week.
I still don't believe it.
No, it's true. Kevin's leaving the show. Tomorrow's his last show.
Yep, that's true.
You really are?
Yeah.
It's true.
I thought he was kidding.
No,
I thought it was a big
legit.
Prank
no,
you guys
this,
were
no,
playing
it's,
on me.
It's true. All right, so here's what happened. Both Kevin and I, we were talking about this yesterday over the weekend. Was yours over the weekend, Kevin, or was yours last week?
I think it happened
week?
Friday.
Friday?
I want to say.
Mine was Saturday. Or was mine Friday? Mine might have also been on
Friday.
Well,
you get to the thing I want to know.
Friday was prank day. Kevin, explain yours, because, boy, most people would fall for this, but Kevin saw right through this.
Well, I'm trying to find the actual email so I can read it to you, but it was very clever, a scam that I almost got busted with. Let's see here.
Really?
Oh, here it is.
Did?
Yeah, because, well, normally I'm up on these, but I got an email, and it said...
It's usually an easy... I mean, for us, it's
like
kind of easy
to
tell.
If a prince is mentioned in the email,
prince
you know...
Prince of Makamura.
No. That I would believe.
From the fairs. He wanted me to send him money.
So, this is from Mail Administrator, it says. And it says, your inbox is over the limit. And it says, warning, 20.9 gigabytes of 20 gigabytes. Your mailbox has exceeded the storage limit, which is 20 gigabytes, as set by your administrator. You are currently running on 20.9 gigabytes. To revalidate your mailbox, click here to increase your mailbox size, or you will lose your account within 24 hours. Signed, Tribune Media Security Team.
Yeah, well, if you get your work emails, Art Nasseri already put a warning out saying, if you get this, it's fake, don't download.
Well, what I did, the click here is what, you know, gave me the clue. So I didn't go for it. I sent it to Art, actually, and he gave me a good old pat on the back.
And but did he say, had you read my earlier email?
He might have sent something like that. I don't read emails.
How savvy of whoever's trying to pull the scam of making it appear... that it's coming from your workplace.
It was the Sun-Times that was behind it.
I wouldn't
it.
Be shocked if it wasn't.
Well, let's get all these Tribune employees.
Right. We'll get them now. So that would be easy to fall for.
But again, the click here, because I get updates, you know, from Credit Karma saying, oh, good work, your credit's better,
because
it was kind of low, so really anything could be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it says click here to... check your scores.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it's from them, and I bet it is, but I'll just go to their website on my own and do it. If I get something from Discover Card, you know, click here to opt in for 5% cash back on gas stations. I say,
now I get that one or a similar version of that all the time. That if, but just by verifying the fact that I'm interested, I'll be saving money on it for gas stations,
right,
or grocery stores.
So just
travel,
go to discover.com, sign
on
to your account. That's, that to me is the safest way to do
it. Sure.
I don't even click on links I get from Jimmy Mack.
Really? It's come to that.
He's trying to get into my accounts.
I think he is. I think he is. All right, so Kevin's telling me about his, and now let me share you mine, with you mine. It's from a friend of mine who I rarely email back and forth. It's a guy that I've known for years. I've played tennis with him. I see him around town all the time. The heading says contract, and then when you click on it, it says, Bill, just want to make sure you're on board with this. Let's get this done today.
And but then, so vague like that?
Yeah. So then, again, there's a link for me to click on, and then it's his name at the bottom. And, you know, if you're not thinking clearly, you go, I'm sure we've talked about this. I don't know what it is.
But you clicked on it, though.
No, I did not click on it.
Good.
So the first message I told you was, you know, if you click on the header, you get the message. But then there's a link that he wanted me to click to see this possible contract.
Did you have a contract for playing tennis?
I'm not allowed to have any contracts. I'm forbidden from entering into any kind of a bargaining agreement with anybody at any time. So I just texted him really quickly and go, just out of curiosity, did you just send me a contract? And he goes, absolutely not. Whatever it is, it's not from me. But it was done so casually.
Yeah.
And I bet, again, for some people, they go, oh, this must be something I forgot about. I imagine we talked about this. But who knows what would have happened if I would have clicked on that? What would it have done?
The fact that you didn't click on it gives me hope that
yes,
people out there won't
if
just
I won't
click
fall
on
for
things.
It, no one's going to fall for it.
But the over your mailbox thing, and it's coming from the company you currently work for, that's good.
That's very scary. Was there a logo at all, Kevin? A Tribune logo?
No, but it had like this email is proper use of blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it
very
did?
Official script at the very bottom.
That's
so
smart.
It's clever.
It's so easy to copy and paste that. I'm going to try and do a prank on you.
On me?
And make it look like it's official. Like I'll forward. Well, now I'm telling you, so that's stupid.
I'll still fall for it. Even if you did it right this minute, I would excuse myself because I had an email and I'd fall for it.
But come on, you can copy and paste a logo. You can, I mean, that's how people
so
are
easily
getting access. And I didn't know this till like last year, but when you go on a website and there's that little lock
right
on the very far left side of the https://,
yeah,
that little lock thing means it's a secure site, but can't somebody fake that too?
I would imagine if they could fake any other part of it, they could fake that. I'm surprised, and I know I'm giving the bad guys an idea here. No, I realize that as I'm saying it, that if no one's thought of about this, they will now. Wouldn't you have the ability, you know how sometimes a box will come up and say, no, I'm not interested in an X, and then you're out of it, or, yeah, tell me more, or something like that. I'm surprised somebody doesn't reverse those so that by not clicking on it, you're actually clicking on it.
I think, you mean if a pop-up comes up on your computer screen?
Yeah.
Like, are you interested in getting antivirus software,
yeah,
yes or no?
So they're already doing something illegal or trying to.
I don't click on either. I just click on the X and close the box.
But couldn't they rig it so that that X activates it instead of getting you out of it?
I think both activate it. That's why I just hit the X and close it.
All right. I'm done with my computer. I'm just going to play with a CNC. They can't hack a CNC.
They have found a way to hack the CNC.
Did?
Now it says and sees.
Oh, no.
It does it differently. Scam emails. Have you had one? Hi, Pat.
Hi. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I had this very official email coming from my provider, AT&T. And, of course, I clicked on it because I had to upgrade my browser or something. And what it does, it doesn't do anything initially. It doesn't appear to, but then it takes down the Wi-Fi.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, and then I had to unplug every. It's happened a couple of times. I sound damn dumb, but
it deactivates your Wi-Fi just by clicking on it. Your Wi-Fi goes down?
Yes.
Now, what's in it for them? What do they possibly get out of that?
Well, it's obviously not from them.
No, but for whoever set this thing up, the bad guys, the pirates, the video pirates, what do they get out of this?
I'm not sure. I don't know if they're getting any additional information on me. I didn't change my email password. I've had to do that before for other kinds of piracy, but it seems to work fine. But I have to unplug everything, including the the modem or the thing that
router.
Yeah, everything has to get unplugged, and then you have to replug everything.
And that's a hassle.
Well, it is, because I'm old and I have to get behind the desk and down on the floor.
And it is a hassle, because then any wireless setups that you have to re-enter it. It's a big pain. I agree with you, Pat.
Yeah, you have to re-enter the password for your wireless, things that are accessing your wireless.
Right.
So, yeah, it's annoying, but it's hard to... they look so official.
Yeah, I know. We get hoodwinked.
Yep.
That's what happens.
It is, Wendy. It's hoodwinking. Yep. Well, sorry you're going through this, Pat.
We appreciate you sharing it. Terrence is here. Hi, Terrence.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I just wanted to let you guys know that Microsoft, for probably about a year now, with our Windows 10, has been putting out updates where they'll actually flash the message on your screen when you, log in. If you have Windows XP, Vista, 7, anything other than Windows 10, it'll ask you if you want to update it. And you'll click on the red box, the red X, thinking that you are closing out because you don't want to opt into it. But that just starts the automatic update.
Oh, it does?
Within the message, there's an opt-out box. You have to read the message and go down to it. It happened to two of my computers already.
See, but you can't trust Microsoft. It's your software, so you'd think if it's monitoring your computer. I'm not clicking on anything anymore.
Yeah, it happened twice, and I'm blaming the kids because I'm thinking that, they pressed something they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But all they did was, do what I told them, just click the red box.
And so it worked against you.
Scroll down, and sometimes you can opt out that way. Just be careful what you click, people.
Yep.
Thank you, Terrence.
Thanks, Terrence.
You're welcome.
I told you about that one that says, I think it says CC Cleaner or something. I never signed up for it.
Well,
but all
that
of a sudden, I would
flag.
Get a box every once in a while saying it's time to clean your computer. Your computer will run faster and better than ever.
Don't fall for that.
And I haven't, but then I read, was it 2 weeks ago, that whoever came up with that, because it looks legit. It fits in everything else with my computer. And you go, well, this is just them trying to update something. But it's not. It's them trying to steal my identity. You can have it. Stop what, trying to steal
what
it.
What benefit would that have for anyone?
I can't imagine.
They'll
give it back to me and they'll apologize.
I feel sorry for the hacker that finally gets into something and gets your identity.
Right.
It's like, thanks, but no thanks.
They'll send me a check, too. Sorry we inconvenienced you.
Take it back.
Right. Please take it back. All right. We'll take a quick break and then there's more show. Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call in with any questions or comments. We're talking about a couple of attempted computer scams. Kevin didn't fall for it. I didn't fall for it. We don't want you to fall for it.
So we have people giving some help. And Margie, how are you?
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Good.
What's up?
So last week I couldn't get my computer to print, and it said it was offline. So I went on the Hewlett-Packard and just Googled, my printer doesn't work, Hewlett-Packard. It asked for the model. And then it said, for help, click here. So I thought, I'm going to download something. And a chat room opened up, and the person said, hey, can I, are you having some problems with your printer? How can I help you? What model do you have? What's the serial number? I put all that in. She goes, okay, we're going to have a technician call you. Technician, what's your number? Technician calls me. He said, oh, it's not your computer. We'll check your computer. It's not your computer. It's not your printer. Is this the printer? They had a picture of the printer. No, it's not my printer. Then what they said, well, there's something. It's not your computer. It's your operating system. And they ran. I can't believe this. You know how you do a go-to meeting where someone can take over your computer?
Yeah, which is really weird when that happens, because you see somebody moving your mouse, and it's like when you think about what could be happening, it freaks you out.
And I downloaded a program, and all of a sudden, he's showing me, he says, this looks okay, see this? And they said, there's a scam. Have you seen this? He pulls up this scam. He says, Google this. He says, look at this here. And he pulls up this screen, and there's like six or seven places that have been like broken in my computer, some in 2014. I'm like, oh my God, there's something wrong with my operating system, right? And I said, well, what do I do about this? Can you fix this? He goes, I can. He says, it's $199. Mm. Well, he just said it's $199. And I was like, $199, because when I asked the girl, how much does this cost? She goes, nothing. And I thought, $199. And I thought, oh, hold on a second. And he said, well, I said, well, yeah, but I don't want to be in a scam. He said, well, you know, we've been talking. I said, yeah, but you called me.
Oh.
How about you give me your number, I'll call you back.
Oh,
you
know? Good one.
And I said, I'm a nurse, and we can't give out information. We have to call where we are supposed to call, so give me your number. So I didn't call him back, and then I actually Googled the number, and it said this number is a scam number.
Oh, but no.
And then I freaked out, and I'm like, I'm uninstalling the program. I'm uninstalling all these things. And I called my IT friend and said, fix my computer. And so, he made sure everything was okay, but I was so close.
How does this happen? Because you originally went to the Hewlett-Packard site.
I looked at when I went back on the site. It says, I took a screenshot. It was Hewlett-Packard printer support. But when I went back on the site on Google, it looks like it's a Hewlett-Packard site. It's got the HP Patricia Williams support agent. How can I help you? And it wasn't. They have it on there and it's not legitimate.
Because if you Google something, you 10 things pop up, like HP will pop up in 10 places, and you really do have to scroll and look for the one like HP official or something like that.
Right. I saw the label. I saw the logo. Here's this chat room. I'm like, oh, hi. Yeah, I could use some
help
with
legit.
This.
Yeah.
I know. And then they like, here, we'll have the tech call you. Okay, great. And an unknown call calls me, and I said, he said, it doesn't matter if it's your computer, your operating system's going to follow you. And, and he pulls this up. I'm like, 2014? Oh, my God,
So
here, let me tell you.
His questions were all the questions that you would, like, what did he ask, what kind of model you have?
But yeah, they asked, they're like, what kind of printer is it? And, what's your what's the serial number on there? This is the one. He says, well, let's check the printer. And he waits a minute.
Oh.
He goes, well, it's not the printer. Well, we're going to check your computer. And he does something. It's not the computer. So whatever program he had me on, it had a list of all these different sites that, this one you could see was corrupted. And this one, it said foreign influence. It was like all these things that looked like things that had happened to my computer and I needed to get them out of there. So that all was something that they had manufactured.
Have you had it fixed since for free? Were you able to navigate it?
Her IT friend helped.
They did it.
You're lucky your computer didn't explode or you lost everything on your computer.
Or that I said, oh, here's my $199. Right. And I wanted to steal my credit card number in addition to my $199, So, I'm so careful about that stuff. And I thought, let me call you back. And
yeah,
I thought,
smart.
Oh, this is not right. Oh,
very smart.
So oh,
well, thanks.
So
thanks for sharing with us. And also Margie's tip too of when you go and Google, like if you want to go to TribuneMedia.com, make sure it's the original one because some other ones could pop up.
True.
And call them back. I mean, seriously, because if I had called them back, I would have, who knows? I probably would have gotten some other country. So.
Maybe.
Or not.
Well, thank you for the tips.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's the one who helped us.
Yes.
You really didn't click on it?
No.
I'm pretty proud
of
you.
I was smart. Yeah. It's the one time I did the right thing tech-wise.
Well, good.
One time.
See, you're learning.
I know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We have to hand it over to Steve. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Wendy and I will be over on the stream. If you'd like to join us for the bonus hour, we would love to have you.
We will be spawning.
All kinds of fun on the bonus hour. Or stay right here and find out what Steve has planned for you next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.